Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today. From Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis, as well as the Cleveland Clinic, comes a study that a diet, the Western diet, what most Americans consume, increases the risk of gut inflammation and infection. That means those sugars, those trans fats, the saturated fats, they actually damage your immune cells, and especially in your digestive tract. What does that mean? I'll be discussing that and a lot more. And I'm going to do a little more in-depth on two issues today. One is the metabolic syndrome complex. I'll explain what the metabolic syndrome is and how just simple things can make a difference. And I'll be reciting some information from Marcia McCulloch, registered dietitian from Life Extension, and also one nutrient that most people don't think about taking and they really do need it, and that's vitamin B12. So protecting your brain with vitamin B12, and I'll give you all the latest statistics on that, and everything I share comes from the peer-reviewed literature, and also I want to thank Michael Downey for his outstanding research on this. Then we're going to shift gears, and as of today, I believe that we are under a year away from seeing a substantial number of individuals lose their reputations, deservedly so. For the last year and 3 months, I have done over 160 reports on COVID, at the exclusion of some other topics that I'm going to get back to shortly, such as on environmental issues and important issues, what we can do each day to have a more sustainable and healthy life. But it was important to understand that everything I shared, now looking back, and that's what you should do, go back and listen to any of the shows from my archives, and you'll see that virtually every single topic we were right on, and every single topic, the establishment, the New York Times, CNN, MSNBC, Rachel Maddow, they were all wrong on. Anthony Fauci has been lying nonstop. And so when I say, yes, we have a deadly virus, absolutely positively, it's killed a lot of people and should never be dealt with in a cavalier or supercilious manner. But then everything else beyond that has been based upon ideology, not science. So today I'm going to interconnect multiple issues to show you how the House of Cards is collapsing. Isn't it interesting that two of the most powerful people in the world, Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci, are about to have their entire reputations shredded by both facts and truth that supersedes Bill Gates' capacity to pay for a whole new image to what is extraordinarily a destructive character behind that. So we begin today, and you'll be hearing from people. And also, I'm encouraging citizen journalists. Now, I'm going to play you an example of a citizen journalist. This is just a homemaker in California who decided that when she looked for the truth and she didn't find it, and she looked for how she could have control over her body and her children's body, and it was being taken away by bureaucrats and technocrats, and they didn't have the science to support what they were doing, she fought back. Well, now she has inspired thousands of people to fight back at the community level, going to local community boards and getting more enlightened and progressive minds on those boards to make better judgments. So I just want to give you an example of what's possible. So we can't always look for someone outside of our immediate community to try to bring some justice to what's going on that is unjust. She's just one example. There are now tens of thousands of people like her. So we began with the latest on health and healing. And as you, I'm sure most of the people in this audience are not only aware, but applying this information, the standard American diet that two generations minimally have grown up with is a diseased diet. 90% of what you eat and consume and drink causes disease. That's not a matter of speculation. It's not certainly a theory. That's grounded in thousands and thousands of studies. I'll give you an example. When I decided to do a documentary, and a subsequent major book, The book is just being released now. It's up on Amazon, and it's Saving the Planet One Bite at a Time. It's a huge book, over 700 pages. And the documentary was Saving the Planet One Bite at a Time. I knew it would be a tough motivating statement, because the documentary is very hard-hitting. It pulls no punches. It shows you how animals are treated in factory environments. And these are highly stressed but yet sentient and loving creatures. Having been on farms or ranches my entire adult life, living there as I do now, saving over 5,000 animals that otherwise would have been slaughtered, and finding them loving homes for life, I can tell you that any animal you would think is just a hamburger or veal cutlet has a need for love, to give love, to receive love, is gentle, thoughtful, playful. We would certainly know that about our dogs and cats or birds, but we don't think any of these creatures have the same capacity. They do. And so it's important to understand that when an animal is stressed and know it's being slaughtered, you see it in their eyes, you hear it in their screams, and of course then it's also in their blood. It'd be no different than if you were about to be slaughtered. Your cortisol levels would be off the chart. Your adrenaline, and all that's trapped in your body. So just imagine, once that animal's slaughtered, that's still in there. You're going to be consuming that. So when I look at all the studies for the film and and I looked at all of them, I spent 6 months studying every scientific study in the world that looked at when you eat an animal protein, chicken, fish, are you benefited or not? And with meat in particular, less so with fish, but meat and chicken, turkey, veal, the answer, and pigs, the answer is all bad. There's no studies that show it really supports a healthy immune system or reverses aging or slows down cancer. To the contrary, every study shows you that it produces increases in breast cancer, ovarian cancer, prostate cancer, and colon rectal cancer. So think of it. All the studies, virtually all the studies, are on the side of don't eat this stuff. And all the studies showing you what you should eat that are good for you, that actually slow down the aging process, rebalance the body's natural hormones, give you adequate protein for growth and maintenance of muscle and enzymes, that's all there too. So you have two completely diametrically opposite positions. The right side, it's all bad. The left side's all good when it comes to diet. A healthy plant-based diet is good. A meat-based diet is bad. So we say we are a country that believes in science. Well, clearly there's a cognitive disconnect, because if we did, we wouldn't be eating ourselves to death with forks and knives, nor would we be destroying the environment. So the problem is the conditioning that we've gone through is so good that it literally, like a Pavlovian dog, when the bell rings, they salivate, even if there's no food, because they've been conditioned to believe that it's time to eat, the bell rang, and they rush to the food. And so now when we walk by a place and we smell something that is familiar to us, we suddenly start to secrete saliva, as if we're preparing our body to digest that food, even if it's food that can lead to heart attacks and strokes. And the irony of it is, right now, for the last year and 3 or 4 months that this COVID pandemic has been in effect, the people most vulnerable, the people most likely to die, the science is there, it is unequivocal, it is absolute, is a person with has multiple, approximately 2.6 comorbidities. Heart disease, a comorbidity. Emphysema, upper respiratory tract infections, comorbidity. High blood pressure, comorbidity. But being overweight is the number one. And eating a meat-based diet with all the fat, and remember, you're getting twice as many calories out of fat as you get out of protein or carbohydrates. We are a country that's morbidly obese, both adults and children. So wouldn't you suggest that it's time that we began to take back the power from the media, who are the purveyors of misinformation, but they're profiting from it? Look at all the ads for drugs we do not need. Now, there are certain drugs we do need. There are certain medical procedures, absolutely, I support. Just like in this pandemic, I've been supporting particular drugs. These are not alternative therapies. These are mainstream drugs used by billions of people safely. And there's at least 9 of them that I've mentioned. Even put a chart up on PRN.fm, and you can go down the chart, and it shows you how many studies were on that drug, how many scientists worked on that study, how many participants were in the study, and how many studies all told were done on that particular drug. So you get a really clear picture. Wow, I didn't know that there were 18,327 people involved in a study on ivermectin. Okay. Well, wasn't all the media saying it was no good, and Anthony Fauci and those people and the CDC don't use it, and the World Health Organization don't use any of this? Yeah, well, what could have been their reasoning and rationale? Well, we don't know, do we? We do know that they had put everything into the vaccines, which they're all financially connected to. And then the sponsors of those drugs are not just using those vaccines. One drug company may have 60 different drugs, and those drugs are promoted on television. So the television becomes the source of most people's information. What if that's biased? And it always biased. It's not just politically biased. It is also biased at a level of cognition that if you don't believe in what they're trying to say to you with their panelists, then something's wrong with you, and you therefore should be deemed as an enemy combatant. You're a danger to society. You therefore should be shamed, and you should be ridiculed, and you should be mocked. That's what's going on. So honest, legitimate science, honest, legitimate healthcare, honest, legitimate dietetics, and honest, legitimate health and nutrition, honest, legitimate environmental action, which has nothing to do with the idiots in Washington who have their idea of what a new Green Deal would be. And my God, if they don't have a cumulative IQ above 7, these people know nothing of what they're doing. Just everything's a platitude and a photo op. There's nothing getting done. Nothing. Zero. Nothing. If you doubt me, then show me. Show me the proof. I'm a scientist. I'm a journalist. I'm a public health advocate. Show me what they're doing. Show me the person saying, let's give up the meat and let's start going to the vegetables to save the planet, to save the soil, to save our lives. Not a single person in power. I'm not talking about the celebrity like Woody Harrelson or Mark Ruffalo or James Cameron or Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah, there are some people like that, and good for them, and I appreciate their sacrifice because they're going to be ridiculed for doing that. Even saying good information is accurate, you're going to be criticized. Remember all of us who said don't go into Iraq because we have information that Dick Cheney was running a secret intelligence group out of his office with his secretary of or his chief of staff, Scooter Libby, and it was false information? Nobody listened. And yet today, the very people who misled us, the New York Times, are misleading us again on vaccines. And you're a danger if you challenge anything about vaccines. Well, now we're deconstructing all this. But we're challenging it's everything, all the advertisements. Look at them. Does that advertisement, do you need that drug? What are the side effects? For an allergy drug, the side effect is death. Well, I'd rather have a runny nose than die. Wouldn't you think the average person's smart enough or has enough common sense to get that? And the answer is no, they do not. So we've got to understand we're at a different time in reality. We may never go back again to where people actually use reason and common sense and deduction and did their own homework. Why should you when you don't have to do anything at all? You don't have to use a single neuron each day. All you have to do is say, Alexa, should I get my vaccine? Yes, you should. And if you don't, that somehow you're a low-life degenerate piece of, and you should be exiled to Siberia and put in one of those gulags, you know, for your own good, of course. Alexa, can I get my protein any other way than meat? Well, yes, but no, don't. Don't you watch the commercials? Don't you want to be one of those happy people eating one of those gigantic hamburgers that will be in your body about 3,000 years from now when they open up your rotten, degenerate corpse and say, my God, this person had 15 pounds of impacted hamburger in their gut. Yeah, look where the young persons and many people get their information. There is no sense of thoughtfulness. And so one day we end up in a nation that's obese, freaked out, on antidepressants, taking all kinds of drugs, and don't know what the hell we're alive for anymore. No sense of community. You're a racist. You're a misogynist. Or you're something because you're not like me. Hyper-judgmental. and we're a nation divided by 1,000 margins, and we wonder why nothing seems to be functioning right. Then we look at our leaders and we think, well, I might think my life is bad, but by God, I'm not as bad as those fools running the country. Yeah, but you enable them. So just understand something. Eating your average Western diet impairs your immune system. And because your immune system is paired, then you're more vulnerable to COVID. You're more vulnerable to a cold or a flu, to cancer, heart disease, diabetes. That's what it comes down to. Now, if I suggested maybe you should be taking some vitamin B12, you say, well, doesn't my diet get me everything I need? No, and your doctor's not a nutritionist or a dietitian, and I am not a medical doctor. I'm not going to tell you which drugs to take or to take a vaccine or not. That's not my prerogative. But then why does a doctor assume that they know more than those of us who are qualified and have long and deep understanding of the human body and have cured people beyond their capacity to cure them? And one of those things we're not doing is vitamin B12. Because when you have vitamin B12 deficiency, three things you're going to have immediately: anemia, weakness, and fatigue. So by having too little vitamin B12, and this is important for all of the vegans out there who are susceptible, especially the raw foodist. God, they're anal, really anal. Hey, friends, you know, don't pride yourself on how strict and regimented you are by eating, you know, something like a macrobiotic diet, which is stupid, but many other things. Just look at what your body needs and then what are the most appropriate ways. If you ate some raw cauliflower and raw carrot and raw broccoli and raw celery, what percentage of that's actually digested and absorbed, and so you have high utilization at the cellular level? Now, what happens if you juice that? Oh, then you get 100% absorption. What happens if you steamed the outer layer, the lignocellulose, to break down the fibers of the broccoli and cauliflower and carrots and asparagus and Brussels sprouts? Well, then you quadruple the available nutrients to get into your body. But if you're a purist, God, save us from purists. These people are so self-righteous in their need to control everything and everyone in their environment. And so if you wonder why nobody likes you and this hard time having friends, well, why not step out of that perfection mindset for a moment and look at the real world and what people have to go through, how many lenses they have to see something through before they see the truth, because corporate America has a lens in front of you. Our educational system has another lens. The government gives you another lens. And your family gives you another lens, your religious gives you another lens. So you've got a lot of lenses, and take away all those lenses. Oh, my God, I see something. It was there all along. We were just too afraid of what would happen if we got that undiluted right into our systems. So you need vitamin B12. My suggestion, 1 milligram methylated a day. Because otherwise, here's what's going to happen, and this will happen. You're going to have a progressive brain atrophy. Atrophy means shrinking. In fact, one study found an astounding 517% greater state of brain volume loss in people with lower levels of vitamin B12. So get your vitamin B12 into your diet each day and be healthier. And a simple supplement is really the best way of going about it. All right? It's just that easy. And why should you have B12? Well, I've told you what happens if you don't have enough. Because without B12, you can't have proper nerve function and cell metabolism and the formation of red blood cells and DNA production. And aging and vegan and vegetarian people often suffer from B12 deficiency. And that can be corrected. And the body needs both forms of vitamin B12. There's a methocobalamin, and there's an adenose, a slow cobalamin. Better known form of the two is the methyl cobalamin. It's used to reduce stress and lower dangerously elevated levels of homocysteine, and which can create a heart attack, and treat conditions including nerve damage. And so that's the best way of getting into your system. Now, I mentioned about a week ago, I didn't give the details at that time, I'm doing a research paper right now. I'll publish it probably within the next week. And in that paper, I'm showing you all the different ways that you can naturally, without stem cell therapy, increase stem cell activity in the body. And just to give you a little, and it's all coming from peer-reviewed literature, and I'll give the citations as I always do. But for those of you who are using resveratrol, res, R-E-S-V-E-R-T-R-O-L, resveratrol, as well as garcinol, G-A-R-C-I-N-O-L, G-A-R-C-I-N-O-L, and picatinol, P-I-C-E-A-T-A-N-N-O-L, these are plant-based. And what they do is they activate the key cell signaling pathways that support stem cell health. So that's one way to promote healthy cellular renewal. So for those who say, well, you know, that's good, but it'll have to come later after the science gives us a way of, you know, injecting ourselves with some stem cell, and it then will help some stem cell outlet in the body. No, we can do an awful lot right now. So I'm making a list of all the different juices and foods and supplements that will stimulate stem cell, and meaning you're going to live a longer life, a healthier life. So that's that. And so now we know a healthy plant-based diet. And by the way, for those in this audience who know someone suffering from cognitive impairment, a University of New South Wales, which is in Australia, has shown something I mentioned a couple weeks ago, and that is a glutathione precursor, which is a gamma, G-A-M-M-A, gluta, G-L-U-T-A, myl, M-Y-C, excuse me, M-Y-L, cysteine, and C-Y-S-T-E-I-N-E. Let me spell it for you completely. G-L-U-T-A-M Y-L-C-Y-S-T-E-I-N-E, that can help prevent and treat cognitive impairment and reduce oxidative stress and the accumulation of oxidative stress. And that accumulative oxidative stress leads to neuroinflammation and abnormal aggregation, clumping of the amyloid beta peptide, what is called A-beta, which has been shown to induce synaptic dysfunction and memory deficits in Alzheimer's disease. So just one natural, non-toxic way, a simple supplement that can help you. And I think we're the only people in the country to talk about that. We are 23 minutes into our program. We're going to take a break. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to read some of an article on, I'm going to start to show you the associations now between our current leaders of the pandemic, some of the most respected and powerful people on the planet, and how they're absolutely wrong on everything they're telling us, and go back and look at everything they said and we did and what I suggested and we didn't do, and you'll see we were right on every single point. They were wrong on every single point. And I'll just give you a simple idea of this. And then we'll go to a break after this. This is from Sweden. This is out today. This is from Collective Evolution that does good work. Quote, Sweden says PCR tests, listen carefully, everyone, quote, cannot be used to determine whether someone is contagious. I repeat, Sweden, the PCR test that all of you have taken, or most of you have taken, quote, cannot be used to determine whether someone is contagious. According to this report, the Swedish Public Health Agency, that would be equivalent to our CDC, used the PCR technology and said it cannot distinguish between viruses capable of infecting cells and viruses that have been neutralized in the immune system. As a result, these tests that are the whole basis, the entire foundation of determining a public policy, quote, cannot be used to determine whether someone is contagious or not. They emphasize what many other experts in the field have been emphasizing during the entire pandemic. Quote, RNA from the virus can often be detected for weeks, sometimes months, after the illness is gone and does not mean that you're still contagious. Quote, there are also several scientific studies that suggest that the contagion of COVID-19 is greatest in the disease period, end quote. And, quote, even if RNA is detected at any time, this does not mean you're infectious and capable of infecting others. This is true. PCR tests can be positive for up to 100 days after exposure to the virus. PCR tests do nothing more than confirm the presence of fragments of viral RNA of the target SARS-CoV-2 virus in someone's nose. And while a person with COVID-19 is infectious for a 1 to 2 week period, non-viable, meaning harmless viral SARS-2 fragments remain in your nose and can be detected by PCR tests for up to 3+ months after exposure, when you're no longer infected at all. You're going to infect nobody, and yet you'll be told you're a case, you're infected, you're diseased. A recent article published in the Lancet Medical Journal explains a PCR test can be, quote, positive for up to 5 times longer than the time an infected person is actually infectious. They explain that up to, quote, 75% of positive individuals are most likely post-infectious, meaning someone was infected, they got tested, a month later, 2 months later, 3 months later, it showed them positive, but they no longer had disease and hadn't had disease for a long period of time. Hence, virtually all of the data that they've collected all over the world is wrong, because the test itself was done at 35 cycles and up to 45 cycles in the United States, 45 cycles, meaning they continued to amplify that virus because it was so small, so non-detectable, to where up at 45 you can actually see a little fragment piece of the virus. Now, you cannot tell whether or not it's a current virus from SARS-2 or a different SARS virus, of which there are several coronaviruses. And therefore, you're totally healthy. Your body has fought off the virus. You have antibodies. So wouldn't it make sense then, instead of giving a PCR test, which is a false positive test and was never meant to be used for diagnosis, who says, the inventor of it, who won the Nobel Prize, who I filmed, and that two-hour film is up and you can see it. It's been downloaded millions of times. So everything we've been told about the test, which is the foundation, and the New York Times. Remember how many times last year I said the New York Times is lying? They're putting up numbers of cases. Well, needless to say, the more hyped up a country gets, the more cases are detected through a false positive test, the more you're going to say the country is infected when it is not. Now, a person who is manifesting symptoms of any type that would align with COVID should be hospitalized or treated immediately with the drugs that are known to help that person save their life. And they're over 9. But they're all rejected. Not one single drug was offered to treat anyone who had COVID. You had to either go into the ICU on a respirator, and most people died, or you had to wait for the vaccine. But if you've already been infected and you have antibodies, you don't need the vaccine. And the science shows that. They have nothing on their side in the way of science, yet they continue to own the day. So did you see anywhere in the New York Times or CNN, did you hear any of the scientists from their Swedish public health agency say that you cannot determine someone's contagious with the PCR based upon it is not a determinant for diagnosing someone as contagious? No, you didn't, and you won't. But that's been published and yet not reported. That's the politics involved. So it's just something to realize. And by the way, read Gavin Phillips' Global Research, the current issue. COVID-19, the PCR test, no pandemic, only junk data. He is correct, and he goes to it using peer-reviewed literature. Also, experimental COVID-19 vaccine being tested on babies. This is from Vaccine Reaction, Kate Rains. An 8-month-old baby is the youngest person in the world to be given 2 doses of Pfizer experimental vaccine. Wow. This is so much a crime against humanity. And yet you'll continue to believe what the ones promoting this have to say. Paul Craig Roberts says it right. America's public health system is utterly corrupt. Quote, a sure sign of a country's collapse is the open corruption of its public and private institutions. When corruption no longer has to be hidden but can be openly flouted, the values and standards that comprise the country's soul have eroded away. try to find an American institution that is not corrupt. Even when presented with the COVID threat, the U.S. public health system could not rise above the greed for profit. Effective cures such as hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin were demonized and in many states prohibited. Most COVID deaths are the result of non-treatment. Throughout the alleged COVID pandemic, regulatory agencies, health bureaucracies, medical associations, state governors, media, and big pharma have acted to prevent any alternative to a vaccine. From day one, the emphasis was on the profits from a vaccine. To get people to submit to an experimental and untested vaccine required the absence of cures. To keep the road open for the vaccine only, even supplements such as NAC, which has been shown to be effective as both preventative and treatment for COVID, has been challenged by the FDA in its use as a supplement. In response, Amazon.com, a major online marketer of dietary supplements, removed NAC from its offerings. The generation of fear was essential to stampeding people to line up to be vaccinated. The fear was supplemented by threats of inability to travel, to attend sports events, to resume working at one's job. A COVID test known as PCR was intentionally run at high cycles, known to result in a high percentage of false positives. These false positives guaranteed a high infection rate that scared people silly. Economic incentives were used for hospitals to report all deaths as COVID deaths, thus greatly exaggerating COVID's mortality. As you might have noticed, last winter had no reporting flu cases as flu was added to the COVID statistics. A number of reports have been published that the COVID vaccine does not prevent some vaccinated people from coming down with COVID. Other reports say that the vaccinated people become spreaders of COVID. There are also reports of a large number of deaths and injuries from the COVID vaccine. By the way, now approaching 5,000 in the United States, and that's probably only 2% according to Harvard University, or 10% max, which means you're really looking at about 45,000 deaths. And here's a question for everyone in this audience, and especially those of you who think that somehow you're smarter than you actually are. And that's a lot of people, especially in the intelligentsia, in academia. Come into the real world and show us what you've actually created to make it a better world instead of judging everything from that snide-ass pedestal that you sit yourself on. And ask yourself this. When have you deconstructed any argument to show that it is not anything more than a flaccid excuse to profiteer off Americans? All right? When it comes to COVID, show me the results of your research on any aspect that justifies continuing without it being challenged. You haven't. You're just lining up to cheerlead people into making choices before they are fully informed of the effectiveness or lack thereof of what their choices are. That's why I said the virus is real. Everything else is a fraud, and we should challenge it and push back. But some people are. And finally, it is happening. And here's one example. We're going to go now, before we take a break, we're going to go in to an Indian news reporting service that is one of the best in the world. And I want you to hear what Gravitas has to say just yesterday concerning now the Wall Street Journal finally broke it. Remember, in the alternative media, we've all been breaking stories on a daily basis about corruption and conflicts of interest, the World Health Organization. If you doubt me, why don't you go to GaryNoll.com and look under articles. There are 8 articles that Richard Gell and I have researched and written. They're scholarly articles, fully referenced. All footnotes are there. No blind sources. Everything, no anonymous sources. Everything is stated. And you could use these in a court of law. We deconstructed the complete crimes and corruptions of a completely fallacious organization, the World Trade Organization. Believe nothing those criminals say. The Food and Drug Administration we've exposed. The CDC we've exposed. The Moderna we exposed. Merck we exposed. Johnson & Johnson we exposed. And Pfizer we exposed. You got 8 articles that are all within the last 2 months. Why don't you download those and read them and see what your thoughts are, what you've been told is real that is not. Now we're going to go to this short clip, and they'll bring you up to date. But mind you, it took someone inside the establishment in the media to break the story. The Wall Street Journal broke the story. Now watch the House of Cards crumble, because we said all along it could not have come from nature. We interviewed so many biologists and other people. Is there any case in history where something suddenly jumps in just such a short period of time, almost instantaneously in real time, in from an animal to a human. And then Luc Montagnier of the Institut Pasteur said, and he has backed that up several times since, including an interview he just did earlier this week, that this was made in a laboratory because he even found HIV in this damn genome. Well, why wasn't that out there? Well, how did a bat suddenly end up with an HIV genome in its genetic material? He said, no, this was made in a lab. But everyone says, no, no, no. Anthony Fauci says, no, no, no. Everyone says, a whole group of Nobel Prize winners says, no, it can't be. A whole group of scientists says, no, it can't be. They were all wrong. Now, why they were wrong, we don't know. I don't want to assert any of their motivation, but they were wrong. So here's what we're now learning as of today.
Tracking since day one, the lab leak theory. Did the Wuhan virus come from a laboratory? And there's new evidence for the world to consider now, and this cannot be dismissed as a mere rumor. It comes from the files of the U.S. intelligence community. An American newspaper has published the findings, and this is what it says. In November 2019, three researchers in China fell sick. All three of them worked at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, the same Wuhan laboratory that is at the center of this controversy. Now, all of these three researchers from this lab had to be admitted to hospital. And this is around the same time when the outbreak is said to have begun. Like I said, these are the findings of the U.S. intelligence. It is part of a report that has not been shared by the U.S. government with the public. But this is not the first time that we've heard of something like this. Remember, during the Trump administration last year, the U.S. State Department had issued a fact sheet. It claimed that several Chinese researchers in the Wuhan Institute of Virology fell sick in the autumn of 2019 and that they showed symptoms consistent with the Wuhan virus. And now this new report says pretty much the same thing. Why is this significant? Look at the timing. China reported its first case of the Wuhan virus on the 8th of December 2019. These researchers were allegedly hospitalized just before that. And this is significant for two reasons. Number one, this finding suggests that the virus was in circulation well before December. And number two, if the virus was spreading before December, then the Wuhan wet market cannot be called the original epicenter of the pandemic. And both of these suspicions are shared by investigators who went to Wuhan. I'm talking about the WHO team, those investigators, the ones who gave their report last year. Earlier this year, in fact, they went to Wuhan and they expressed the same views. As for China, of course, it denies all of these claims.
The Wuhan Institute of Virology, Chinese Academy of Sciences, issued a relevant statement on March 23rd this year. It stated that before December 30, 2019, coronavirus was not contracted at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Until now, there has been zero infection of staff and postgraduate students at the institute.
So if nobody fell ill at the Wuhan lab, why is China not sharing data from there? What is it hiding in this lab? Remember, the WHO team had asked for raw data from the Wuhan laboratory and China refused. What specifically did the WHO ask for? Safety logs and lab records of the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Data that specifically talks about its extensive research on coronaviruses in bats. The Wuhan lab had collected samples and conducted studies, and that's where the suspicion rises. America's top infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, says that he's not convinced that the virus is natural and that he does not rule out a lab leak. Fauci and several scientists have once again called for a new investigation.
No, I'm not convinced about that. I think that we should continue to investigate what went on in China until we find out, to the best of our ability, exactly what happened. Certainly, the people who've investigated say it likely was the emergence from an animal reservoir that then infected individuals, but it could have been something else, and we need to find that out.
This is interesting because Dr. Fauci himself is under fire for his alleged links with this lab, the Wuhan lab. Recently, he was grilled by an American lawmaker. That's because American grant money ended up sponsoring research at the Wuhan laboratory. And this was something that Fauci had authorized. Reports say that America's National Institute of Health, NIH, gave more than $3 million, $3 million over 6 years, to an organization called the EcoHealth Alliance. The funding was to study different coronaviruses from bats. And reports say out of the $3.7 million for this research, EcoHealth Alliance gave $600,000 to the Wuhan laboratory, the one in China. And Dr. Fauci was asked if this funding was for the gain of function research, meaning the kind of research where you deliberately create dangerous variants of viruses. And Fauci denied all of this. And now he says that he's not convinced that the virus is natural. This lab theory has been extremely controversial. There is no proof yet, but it keeps coming back to life. Remember, the WHO team had dismissed it outright. But in a rare act of dissent, WHO Director General Dr. Tedros refused to accept that conclusion. And he said that more research was needed to dismiss the lab theory. So it seems that everyone agrees that more research and more investigation is needed into this. The question is, who is going to do it? Vion is now available in your country.
Keep in mind that we broadcast that there were doctors who were infected at the lab and the technicians before it was announced about this, because we were doing a separate investigation. And yet all that was thrown aside. If you even suggested that this was made in a lab, you were completely dismissed. Now we're saying it was made in a lab. Now, why it was released accidentally, and that's the only proof we have at the moment, we have no proof that it was intentional, and then it was covered up. So for several months, it was covered up in China, and China has not opened up any of its books, any of its records, any of its experiments, anything. And yet there are two whistleblowers that have been on television, and they're immediately dismissed by the mainstream media. And yet they are risking their lives by going public. They have nothing to gain because they know that the Chinese government is capable of doing anything. And keep in mind, here's a government that we know committed genocide and destroyed an entire culture in Tibet, forcing the Dalai Lama, who's still alive, to leave as a young boy. We also know that they destroyed all their temples and brought in their own cultural changers so that there would be a new culture established, a new ethnicity in that area of the world. We know that they have Uyghurs, by at least a million or more, in captivity, in re-education camps, and that's a crime against humanity. We also know that they monitor every single thing of their citizens. So they lie, they cheat, they are the world's largest people who confiscate other people's ideas and patents. And yet, somehow, we're supposed to believe on this issue that they're telling us the truth. And yet they didn't allow in this last investigation, that didn't even go in and look at any documents. It was just a PR event when that group went over there in Quebec. So, oh, it must have come from the market. No, it did not. Why? Because over 40% of the people who were infected had no relationship to the market. None at all. So we have an awful lot of duplicitous information, misinformation, and it's really bad when your own government officials are covering for the cover-ups of the Chinese government. Because what would happen if it's shown that, yes, Anthony Fauci was supporting gain-of-function research and he was giving the money to a nonprofit that was then by Peter Daszak, who was then funding at North Carolina in China, then that means that these people could be directly tied in to the creation of this virus, and there was never any need to do gain-of-function research to make a virus so lethal, so deadly. Remember, a couple of years ago, we complained on this program that we should not allow them to bring back the great swine flu that killed millions, a Spanish flu that killed millions back in 1918. Why in the world would they take something that's been out of existence for so long and regenerate it? And would they do it by gain of function research to make it even more powerful? I think it was powerful enough as it was. This is how insane the research community is. But I'm going to now, over the next 2 weeks, I'm going to give you four articles I've written and that were published in a national magazine with millions of viewers back in the 1980s, showing you the secret test that American government officials were doing on millions of Americans without their knowledge or consent. But now we go to something that was just broke today from the American Institute for Economic Research, an article entitled "Fauci Was Duplicitous on the AIDS Epidemic." Now, mind you, if you understand what he did with AIDS and he's using the same identical playbook for a COVID, you'll appreciate why he shouldn't have the power he has or be trusted. Quote, in May 1983, amid the rapidly escalating AIDS crisis, a doctor at the National Institute of Health promoted a stunning theory about newly encountered disease in the Journal of the American Medical Association, noting that the same issue of the journal contained an article documenting one of the first cases of the immunodeficiency disease appearance in an infant. The author sounded an alarm about, quote, the possibility that routine close contact as within a family household can spread the disease. Let me repeat that. Quote, the possibility that routine close contact as within a family household can spread the disease, end quote. That was in the Journal of the American Medical Association. The article took an increasingly speculative turn in promoting this new theory. Quote, if indeed the latter is true, then AIDS takes on an entirely new dimension, end quote. It continued, quote, if we add to this possibility that non-sexual, non-bloodborne transmission is possible, the scope of the syndrome may be enormous, end quote. Although the article reiterated the need to be, quote, cautious in accepting these findings as they awaited more evidence, the discovery, quote, should be at least alert us to the possibility that we are truly dealing with AIDS in children, end quote. The author of the article was Dr. Anthony Fauci. He was the rising star within the National Institute of Health bureaucracy. Press accounts noticing Fauci's article immediately sounded the alarm, quote, household contact can transmit AIDS, end quote, read one nationally syndicated report on UPI, a wire dated May 5th, 1983. The Associated Press queried the next day, quote, does AIDS spread by routine contact, end quote, and quoted Fauci as their lead authority. The New York Times raised the specter of household transmission between family members, invoking Fauci's commentary as its main authority. We now know, of course, that Fauci's theory was wrong. HIV, the virus that was later discovered to cause AIDS, only transmits by exposure to infected bodily fluids, such as blood, or by sexual contact. The infant infection discussed in the same JAMA article issue involved vertical transmission from the mother to the child during pregnancy. The damage was already done, though, as the media went to work stoking alarm about AIDS transmission through simple routine contacts. Hundreds of newspapers disseminated the distressing theory from Fauci's article. Writing a few weeks later, conservative columnist Pat Buchanan enlisted Fauci as the centerpiece of a rebuttal against Health and Human Services Secretary Margaret Heckler, who told him, quote, there's no evidence that the general population is threatened by AIDS, end quote. That was Heckler saying that. On July 14th, both Buchanan's column and its excerpt of Fauci's article were entered into the congressional record, along with moralizing commentary that assigned blame for the disease to homosexuals, establishments and gatherings, unfounded fears of transmission risk through simple contact, and accompanying social ostracization of the disease victims became one of the most notorious and harmful missteps in the entire AIDS crisis. It might be tempting to chalk up Fauci's error up to scientific uncertainties of a novel disease. Medical advances by investigation, all plausible theories, subjecting them to testing and ruling out those that lack evidence. In this case, however, the more likely candidate was scientific negligence and unwarranted alarmist speculation. Now, that's only a small part of the article. Now, why is that important? Because at the same time that Anthony Fauci was doing this, for the previous 10 years, I was working with one of New York's leading gay physicians, Dr. Stephen Chiesa, and hundreds and hundreds of his patients he was not able to help, but when he sent them over to me, I was able to get every single one back their health. Now, they weren't tested for an HIV virus because we didn't know one existed at that time. That wouldn't happen until later. But then a woman comes in to my office, and an English woman, and she says, my name is Janine Roberts, and I have an article I'd like for you to read. I didn't know who she was, and she handed me the article, and I read it. And it was from one of the research directors at the National Cancer Institute, and that person was working in the lab of Dr. Robert Gallo. And I read it, and I said, well, so what? It doesn't show you there's anything unique or specific here. And including the Micron head of the Department of Micron, the Micron microscope, it says that there's only cellular debris here. She says, yes, now read this. And she hands me another one. She said, this is taking the first article I just gave you that was to be submitted to Science Magazine that didn't show an HIV virus had been isolated. And here is the one that Robert Gallo, who was over in France at the time talking with Pasteur Institute about his antibody test, he came back and he scribbled his notes all over this. So I read them. And I said, how do you know that this is from Robert Gallo? Because the person who had written the first one when Gallo was out had given a copy of it for safekeeping to a relative. The relative had contacted Janine Roberts. She compared them. And there you see, and by the way, this was sent with about 100 scientists, top scientists, orthodox scientists, to a Science magazine asking for them to retract Robert Gallo's original articles about discovering AIDS through HIV and the cause of AIDS. And they wouldn't do it. They didn't even communicate with them. These were top-level scientists, including Nobel Prize winners. So I'm looking at what was going to be published would have been a nothing, and then what was handwritten by Gallo that was a something. And that was the entire basis of the AIDS establishment. By the way, that Janine Roberts happened to have been one of the most important investigative journalists in world history. She's the one who discovered blood diamonds. She's the ones who discovered the indigenous children in Australia being sold off and put in orphanages for the Caucasians. All these articles she had done, she was as good as you got. And she spent a couple weeks there in New York. And I filmed her in one of her films, a press conference on this, exposing all this. We did live on air for 6 hours. At the same time that HIV was considered infectious, and you wouldn't shake someone's hand, doctors had to be gowned up, face masks, I was helping people with full-blown AIDS near death's door at the Tri-State Healing Center. I announced on hundreds of radio programs, we have an open-door policy. If you'd like to come speak with any of my 22 medical staff, board-certified physicians and top nurses, and et cetera, you're welcome to do so as long as you are in the health field and licensed in the health field. Well, 1,200 people were treated over a period of time, and I started seeing improvement in almost everybody. They were still HIV positive, but then I came up with a different protocol, and I asked for volunteers. 18 people volunteered. I said that you're not going to come once every 2 weeks for 2 hours as you do now. You're going to come every day, 6 days a week for 4 hours, and they did. By the way, none of the 1,200 people were charged a penny. They were all charged nothing. At the end of that 16 months, we had our first complete cures, totally cured, no diseases, and we followed them for 6 years. We had all medical records, all blood chemistries done at Roche Labs, and that was the beginning of 18 cures, 8 at the Tri-State Healing Center and 10 at the Institute of Biology, under two separate groups of orthodox doctors. I held a press conference. No one came. We sent out press releases to 7,000 members of the media to come. Look, come and be critical. Come and throw hardball questions. Come and ask for proof, and we'll show you the medical records. We'll show you the patients. We'll show you their doctors. Nobody came. It was a door nobody wanted to open. At the same time, AZT was being promoted, and people were dying like flies who otherwise would be HIV positive, but not necessarily that sick. They were giving 1,600 milligrams. Today, it'd be 600 milligrams or one-third that dose. Today, if someone gave 1,600 milligrams, they'd lose their license to practice medicine. That's how political it all was. So we had a cure. Then Fauci refused to acknowledge it, refused to even interview the scientists who came by. Many did, Linus Pauling among them, Dr. Cathcart from California, from Stanford University, one of the inventors of a hip replacement device. And once he started using my protocol, he never had another patient die. So here's the irony. Right now, if you're helping cure, if you're a medical doctor, like one of the frontline doctors, a can of frontline doctors of America, and you're curing your patient or saving their lives using any of the 9 drugs commonly used and all FDA approved, like ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, as examples, you'll be criticized. Your license will be stripped from you, if it's possible. You'll be completely destroyed. Yet you're saving lives. And yet all the doctors putting patients on ventilators and they died, no problem there. Hospital got a bonus. So here I'm curing, no one else in the world had cured AIDS. I'm the only person, first person to ever do it. Prove it. Documentaries done on it, including a new one I want you to go and watch right now, right after this program. Go to GaryNall.com and you'll see the entire documentary from the Society for Independent Investigative Journalists. They got patients. They have medical doctors from the team. They got top journalists like Doug Henderson and Bill Tatum, Bill McCreary, Tony Brown, and others. You'll see it all. And yet they had to attack me because I was exposing the corruption of profiteering and toxic drugs on people with AIDS, and they couldn't handle that. So the same battle, dirty tricks, control the media being the disgusting, putrid lapdogs of the establishment, are there to destroy the reputations of anyone who challenges Anthony Fauci, and yet this is the man who is the naked emperor. So go to GaryNall.com. Watch the documentary for yourself and then ask, well, how in the world can Gary be called an AIDS denialist when he is the first and only person actually up to that point to cure AIDS and did it naturally, and not just one or two, but over a period of 15 years, 18 out of 18, by the way. Then you look at the other person behind all this. So Fauci has nothing on his side. Fauci, let me ask you a question. And all the quackbusters out there, you know, the frauds who think they have an intellect and done something constructive and they haven't. Show me how many people you've cured who are alive today who had end-stage AIDS. Let me see them. Let me see their medical records with their permission. Let me see their blood chemistries. Let me interview the doctors that engaged in the therapy and the nurses. Let me see the inpatient administrator. I have all that, and it's proof. So you realize it's not about helping prevent or treat a condition and curing it. It's about, unless you have the power on your side, your truth is now considered non-relevant. And that's what they've done. And that's what they're doing now with COVID. So I've been in this battle for a long time. You cure what no one else has been able to cure, of all the doctors, the millions of doctors, the millions of scientists. And it's not because they're not bright. And it's not because they don't care. They do care. They were using the wrong protocols. So if you're using the wrong protocols, if you're trying to give someone a crew cut with a chainsaw, I think you're going to have some problems. And that's Anthony Fauci and all the other morons around him and the political hacks at every level of government and universities and every one of the institutes. So isn't it interesting? With none of their funding and none of their publicity, just going quietly each day and looking at the patient without gloves, without masks, sitting holding their hand to take away the stigma, bring in one of the greatest psychologists in the Albert Ellis Center, Dr. Donald Mullins. Everyone got to realize that AIDS is not a death sentence. That's what we call the press conference, AIDS is not a death sentence. Wrote articles. Now you've got a documentary you can see. And by the way, that documentary has won 36 international film festivals in the last 4 weeks. Take a look at it. Go to GaryNall.com. See it for yourself. Now, Anthony Fauci, why don't you show me all the people who are alive today because of all that you've done? I'd like to see it and the proof of it. Tomorrow, Bill Gates. We're going to peel back some layers of Bill Gates, show you facts from his background. We'll also show you 7 children, minimally, who died in a study that was not authorized in India. How'd he get away with that? It's time that these two pillars of integrity and wisdom and love and almost godlike status are shown to be what they are. The whole house of cards is crumbling. It'll happen because once it starts, more and more people come forward to tell you the truth. I'm Gary Noll. Thank you for listening and have a nice day.